It is because of our knowledge of the Redeemer who gave his life upon the cross and promised life eternal to all of those who follow him that we gather together this morning in his wonderful and majestic name. And we're so glad that all of you are here this morning as well. Now, we have several guests in the audience this morning. We're so glad you're here. Among those is my brother from Boston, Massachusetts, and certainly good to have him here this morning. He's my older brother. He preached to me when I was younger, so I get to preach to him now. But anyway, we are glad that all of you are here. You know, there's so much to be said in the Bible about so many, many things. And people often ask me the question, how do you determine what you're going to speak on or what you're going to address the congregation about? Well, actually, Dale and I, and no doubt the deacons as well, and others try to assess the needs of the body of Christ here. And as we do so, then certainly there are things that need to be discussed. But there are also those things that we often look at in general, things that need to be addressed. You know, when we read the words of Christ, nothing can be said any more profoundly than the words of Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 7. He talked about what we commonly call the golden rule. The golden rule. Many years ago, when Washington, or rather when General Robert E. Lee, who served in the Confederacy and the war was over, they established what was then Lee University, became Washington Lee University. There was a young man who came to General Lee's office, and he asked him the question. He said, "General Lee," he said, "I would like to go to school here at this university. But I would like to know what the rules are for attending Washington Lee University." And General Lee looked at him and said, "Son, we don't have rules at this university." And the young man looked at him and he said, "You have no rules at this university?" And he said, "Son, we have no rules, but we have one rule. And that is the rule called golden rule. To do unto others as you would have them do unto you." There are several things this morning I want to share with you about what we call the golden rule. As I mentioned in our Bible class here in the auditorium this morning, that the Bible doesn't really refer to these words of Jesus as the golden rule. We call it the golden rule. It's kind of like we read in Luke 15. About the one we call the prodigal son. But he's not really called the prodigal son in the Bible. The word prodigal means wasteful son, and so we've given him that terminology, the prodigal son. But when we read about what Christ has to say here about the rule of life that should govern each and every one of us, it is indeed golden. But I would also say that it is rare in today's world. We preach it often. We teach it often. We talk about it. We discern it. But few really practice it. Three things I want to share with you this morning about the golden rule. First of all, the golden rule is careful in its judgment of other people. Sometimes we find ourselves extremely judgmental of other people. Sometimes we find ourselves like that kettle in the pot. You know, the kettle calls the pot black, or the pot calls the kettle black. And you know what? We often, in our own world, are so judgmental of other people, it is absolutely ridiculous. Now, let me read the words of Christ concerning judging in the book of Matthew 7, verse 1 through 5. Jesus said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure He says you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye?" King James language says the mote. "But you do not consider that plank or that log or that beam in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck out of your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye. Jesus uses the word hypocrite. He says, let me remove the speck from your eye. And look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove that plank from your own eye. And then you can see clearly how to remove the mote or the speck out of your brother's eye. When we look at what Christ had to say, many of us ask the question, well, is judging right? Is it right for us to judge, or is it wrong for us to judge? Sometimes people ask that question. Well, is it really okay for me to judge other people? And a lot of people will respond by saying, oh, no, you're not to judge. You're not to judge anyone. I'm not the judge. But are we called upon to make calculations? We talked about profiling this morning in our Bible class. Is it okay to profile? We all profile. Profiling. There is what we call the unrighteous judgment of other people. I learned a long time ago that judging others does not define who they are, but it defines who you are. It does. And sometimes people have those big old logs protruding out of their eyes. And they're over there trying to fish that little speck out of their brother's eye. It's an impossibility, Christ says. And it is. American Idol. Simon made all kinds of calculations, didn't he? How many of you like Simon? Nobody likes Simon. You just profiled. Judging others hurts them, but it also hurts you. For whatever you sow, the book of Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, you will reap. It comes back to you. Now, I told you in the very beginning that I believe that judgment is warranted, and I believe Christ even taught judgment. Certainly, he condemned unrighteous judgment, but he teaches that judgment is commanded and even commended. Let me tell you what kind of judging is commanded. First of all, we are to judge prophets whether they are true or whether they are false. According to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said that false prophets will come to you inwardly. He says they are full of dead men's bones. They are ravenous wolves. He said on the outside, they appear to be very righteous and very holy. He says, do men gather grapes of thorn bushes or figs, he says, from thistles? God says that civil government has the right to judge. Apparently, we don't believe that in today's world. If you've been listening to the news, there are some who believe that judgments that occur in the civil courts are unwarranted. And you can't stand by a decision that is made in civil court or criminal court. Let me remind you again that the book of Romans 13 says that we submit ourselves to the higher powers, for there is no power that is ordained except it be ordained of Almighty God. Jesus Christ sanctioned the reproving and the rebuking in terms of judgment for Paul in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Told Timothy to do just that. Why would you reprove someone if you didn't judge them worthy or needful of reproving? If someone needed rebuking, how would you determine whether or not you would do it? We make judgments all the time. We make judgment between what is right and what is wrong, and Christ commanded that every day. But there is a judging that Christ prohibits, and that is hypocritical judging. That is allowing in yourself something that you would condemn in someone else. That's hypocritical judging. According to what Christ said here in Matthew chapter 7. The kind of judging that he prohibits is unfair, unmerciful, and harsh judgment of other people. But we have a way of doing that. We all do that. Doesn't make it right. Christ says you don't judge in that way, nor do you impute unworthy and sinister motives to other people. For in Matthew 7 again, listen to what Christ had to say. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Christ taught judgment. He did. You know, you and I, before we make calculations or before we make judgments, we have to get all the facts, do we not? Get all the facts. Before you make a judgment about anyone, do not judge according to appearance, according to John 7 and verse 24, but judge with righteous judgment. Again, in Proverbs 18 and verse 17, the Bible says, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and he examines him. Isn't that true? A lot of times you listen to someone and they make a calculation and you haven't got all the facts together. But then when you get all the facts together, then suddenly your opinion or your concept changes about a given situation. It does. But many of us base our judgment on hearsay. That's why Jesus said one time, he said, you know what? You've heard it said, but I say unto you. Now, one thing that really just blows me away sometimes is someone can get on television. I don't care if you're talking about the President of the United States, whether you're talking about a congressman or whoever. Could be you. And they get on television, they make a statement, and the news media comes back and says, yes, I know he said this, but this is what he really meant. Who am I to interpret your mind? Who am I to interpret your inward feelings? There are some that we call know-it-alls. They feel like they have all the answers before you offer facts. Do not judge one another based upon what someone else says about them. But practice what we call the golden rule and judge based upon substantial information. And even then, folks, you do it with love. I've often thought if they gave Oscars for gossips, who would you nominate this year? You think of anybody? Don't look at me like that. But who would you nominate? Possibly someone would be nominating you. There are those who are all mouth, and there is no substance to what they say. You ever seen folks like that? I know some people like this. We need to put a zipper on our lips, folks. Some people can't wait to hear the latest gossip. They can't. They call it the hoof and mouth disease. They hoof it over to the neighbor's house and mouth off. I have also learned that people who will talk to you about others will talk about you to others as well. It's true, isn't it? The golden rule. The golden rule. Again, Jesus said, therefore, whatsoever you want men to do to you, do you also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. But there's a second thing you need to know about the golden rule. The golden rule is treating other people with respect. You may not necessarily like a person, but you still treat them with respect. And if you expect respect, you must show it. You don't go around beating someone over the head all the time. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24 that he who has not sinned cast the first stone. I don't know of anybody in here that could pick up stones, including your preacher. Because we all sin. We all err. But I've also learned, it is true, that if you expect respect from other people, if you expect that respect, then you better show it to others. When judging other people, there is something that we should all consider. Nobody is perfect, and nobody deserves to be perfect. Nobody has it easy, and you never know what the other man is going through in life. So pause before you start judging and before you start criticizing or mocking other people, because everybody is fighting their own unique war. Someone said that while you were busy judging other people, you left your closet door open and a lot of the skeletons fell out. You see, what is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow man. You don't. The golden rule. Golden. We call it golden because it is the premise upon which every other commandment of Jesus Christ rests. There was a young man who came to Jesus one time and he said, "Master, what is the greatest commandment of all?" And Jesus said, "It is this, that you would love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself." He says, "For on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet." And isn't that what Christ had to say about the golden rule in Matthew 7? "For it is the law and the prophets." It was a part of the old law, but it is also the law of Jesus Christ. And the law that we must follow. But last of all, the golden rule is treating other people with love. You know, we're pretty good. Jesus said one time, you don't treat people with love that you like and treat other people with hate that you don't like. But he said you treat all men with love. And our Lord was a master at doing it. When they crucified him on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when Stephen was being stoned, he himself had learned the golden rule. And he said, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." He understood the rule. You and I are to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We are. The Bible says he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no guile. You know what the word guile means? It means hypocrisy. There was nothing in his lips that was hypocritical at all. But he was genuine through and through. The golden rule is not a sacrifice to practice, but it is an investment in other people. It is. It's an investment in the lives of others. Now, the golden rule does not say, George, if you go to the next slide, the golden rule does not say, do unto others as you would have them not do unto you. Doesn't say that. Or do unto others before they do unto you. There are some things the golden rule just does not say. It doesn't say, do unto others before they do it unto you. Or they, you should do unto others when they do it unto you. Or do unto some others as you would have them do unto you. That's not what the golden rule says. The golden rule says, therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even unto them also. Now, there's something that I want you to notice about this rule up here. First of all, it is personal. It is. He's not talking about others following it, but he's saying you practice it. Isn't he? It's personal. But it's also active. Also. Do also. Sometimes people think religion is just a passive thing. If I abstain from the right things, then I'm okay with God. Not so. God said the relationship that we have with Christ is both passive and it is active. It is doing something, folks. It's active. It is not a theory or a philosophy or even good theology, because it is the commandment of Jesus Christ. It is something to apply, to do, to act out in our very lives. And the golden rule, by the way, is taught in other passages. Maybe it's worded a little bit different. You have heard it said that it was said of those of old time, you shall not murder, and whosoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say unto his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Matthew 5, 21 and 22. And then in Matthew 5, 43 and following, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Notice that. Jesus says, you heard it said, but that's not true. But I say unto you to love your enemies and bless those that curse you and do good unto them that hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Matthew 22, the young man again came and said, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first commandment. And the second, here it is, is likened to it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. He said, repay no one evil for evil, but isn't that counter to what we do today? We want to repay someone. That's not the golden rule. The golden rule says you repay not evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Paul says, and if it is possible, so as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord God, I will repay. And therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, Paul says, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And again, in Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatsoever you want men to do unto you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's more than golden. Whatever you want men to do unto you, do also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's talk just briefly. Where is the golden rule really needed the most? Now, you've been talking about the golden rule here this morning. Let me tell you where it really is needed the most, okay? The golden rule is needed more in our homes. In the home. We would have less divorce. We would have more tranquility. We would have better relationships if a wife treated her husband with the kind of respect that God says here, and if a wife or a husband treated his wife with love and respect as God says, there would be less discord. And if parents treated their children by that same rule, we would have less problems domestically. The golden rule is needed in our homes. The golden rule is needed at the workplace. At the workplace. I know sometimes people who work for other people think that, you know, it's not really imperative that I give a full day's work for a full day's pay. It's not really necessary. It's okay for me to slack off. Would you want, if you had someone working for you, would you want it that way? No, you wouldn't. We need it at the workplace. There's so much discord at the workplace today. Factories, people who work together, people who teach together. That's why it's needed in our schools as well. Can you imagine a school where people really practice the golden rule? And everything they did, all the decisions were based not upon what they want or what I want or what you want, but let's practice the golden rule. It is needed in our neighborhoods. Those across the street, those who live next door to you. And it's needed in the local church. It is. We don't like to admit it sometimes, but we have a lot of folks that have very selfish thoughts and selfish agendas, selfish ideas. Let's get back to practicing the golden rule. We need it concerning the lost. And if others, let me ask you a question. If others were really ready to follow your example, your family and your friends, where would you be leading them? Where would you be leading them? Are you walking worthy of the vocation by which you have been called? Where would you be leading them? Just where are you leading them? Would they learn the golden rule from you? From what you do, what you practice? You see, if you want others to be Christian examples, should you not be one as well? If you're not a Christian, you can't be the right example. The right example are those who are children of God, those who are Christians. That's the right example. Should be. That's why a relationship with Christ and being the right example begins when one is ready to surrender his own life unto Jesus Christ. If you want others to do it, then surely you must do it as well. If you want your children to grow up to be Christians, you must show that example in your own life. It begins when you accept Christ as Savior and you're baptized for the remission of your sins. You know, I've never really understood, why would a person not want to be a Christian? Is there any real legitimate reason why a person would not want to be a Christian? I don't understand that. You know, if you had the hope of going to heaven and being able to live eternally with God in the after a while, as we've been singing here this morning, as Sam has led us in these songs, I'm going to tell you something. Why would anyone not want to be a Christian? Let me challenge you this morning to follow God's golden rule and to become a Christian by faith and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does God give wake-up calls? You bet He does. Every day. You know, probably yesterday something happened in your life and you may wonder why it happened. Could have been a wake-up call from God. Maybe something's already happened today in your life. And it may be God dialing your number. It is true. This morning, we gather here in the name of Jesus Christ, Matthew 18, to honor Him. And we would assist you in obeying that gospel that sets you on the right road to start practicing the golden rule. When a person is ready to acknowledge his faith in Jesus as the Son of God, that's a rule that's worthy of following, isn't it? Matthew 10:32. And when a person is willing to yield his body to be buried with Christ in baptism, that's a rule of Christ. That's a commandment of Jesus. And it's one that's worthy of emulation, isn't it? If you're a Christian, but you haven't been living like one. You see, there's a real difference between being a Christian and living like one. God offers you a wake-up call. He does. When we acknowledge our desire to become a Christian, God is ready to forgive. And I'm telling you, when He gives that wake-up call, something we need to take note of is the fact that He may not give another one, and tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late to make changes. And you know what? I have also observed that if you really want to follow Jesus, you'll change your life. And you'll change the world around you. And you know what? Other people are watching you. They are. You're in their eye. They're watching you. But more especially, God is watching you. And is He pleased with what He sees? So if you're not a Christian this morning practicing the golden rule, will you obey Christ this morning by being baptized for the remission of every sin that you have committed in your life? And if you're a Christian and you've abandoned the golden rule, and you know whether you have or not, will you repent and seek the forgiveness of God through prayer and the prayers of others that have gathered today in the name of our Lord Jesus? It is a decision. It is a decision that we all have to make. So the question this morning is, are you prepared to make that decision? I hope you are, while we stand and while we sing.